Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders. You've done it all. You've walked the tightrope of success and accomplished so much in your career. Now what? How do you keep redefining your success and expanding your emotional well-being? Join us to hear talk on mindset, motivation, and your growth in handling the challenges you've experienced both in circumstances and with yourself as a leader. Welcome to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders with your host, Tracy Crossley.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Earned Wisdom for the Accomplished Female Leader. And today I have with me another accomplished female leader. I have Tracy Semeja. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Nice to be here with you. And let me tell you guys a little bit about Tracy, and then we can get started in our wonderful conversation today. So throughout her 25 plus year career, Tracy has been known as a founder whisperer. Oh, I want to hear about that later, by the way. I definitely want to hear about that. Delivering epic wins for brands such as Lancer, Murad, and Dermalogica. Her own career is an authentic success story based on ascent through the ranks of the beauty industry. Her leadership track record begins in salon management and culminates in president and CEO roles for founder-led brands that were acquired for up to $1 billion and sharpened P&L for businesses with teams of up to 300 and annual revenues up to $150 million. Currently CEO of Lancer Skincare and Lancer Dermatology, Tracy has successfully used the underpinning of Lancer Dermatology to further enhance the trustworthy positioning of Lancer Skincare with a more relative and inclusive message for all consumers. With a precise and strategic lens, Tracy has fiercely cascaded the Lancer brand from its original prestige origins to new heights via major deals with QVC, Amazon, Asian Pacific, and Middle Eastern distributors. As CEO, Tracy is responsible for leading Lancer's overall vision and strategy, financial objectives, and crisis management, as well as new business development for the skincare brand's global business ventures. A respected industry leader, mentor, and power networker, Tracy is active on LinkedIn and has recently joined the exclusive Chief Network to further champion women to leadership positions. I love that. Thank you again, Tracy, for joining me today.
It's my pleasure. Absolutely my pleasure.
Wonderful. So, Tracy, I always start off with the same question, and that is, when you were a little girl, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A boss.
I love it. Were you called bossy or were you not called bossy?
I was called bossy and selfish.
Oh, me too.
Bossy and selfish because if I played a game, I had to be the team captain and all the rest of that. And if we didn't win, I was very agitated. And if I looked at a game that I couldn't quite figure out how to win, I didn't want to play. So the two bookends have always been bossy. You're so bossy and you're so selfish. And I sort of wear them as a badge of honor now.
I love that. So tell me about some of your early forays into, you know, being a boss. Because as a kid, that's a pretty big leap to decide, yeah, I just want to grow up and be a boss.
You know what? So I actually had that, you know, personality type. But as I went through school, I ended up finding a passion for beauty, the beauty industry. And in particular, the hair industry, it was the immediate gratification. It was that freedom of sort of being an entrepreneur and the creativity. So I ventured into the hair industry very, very accidentally, not with this big vision of I'm going to go through here and become a CEO. But what I realized very early on is I like the creative side, but hold on a minute. There's a whole scaling business that's going on here. You know, there's a business model, there's levers to this model, and I found it really, really exciting. And so I switched lanes and sort of went in more into the corporate side of things. And very naturally, I think that that little girl who loved building teams, who's on my team, are we going to win, da, 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 pick the right people, became my sense of leadership. It was, how am I going to pull a team together? How are we going to have a game plan? How do we all win together? And so very naturally, that essence just led me to successes. And as you said, you know, I've had a pathway through sort of that mid-sized founder-led company where you know, you're only as good as your last success. And as long as those successes are coming in, the doors to opportunities keep opening up pretty quickly on that smaller scale company than maybe they do in a larger type company. And so that was it. It's very addictive. It was very gratifying to see that team win. And so it just kept snowballing from there, really.
That sounds lovely. So, of course, I have the question of you went from the creative because you were saying you got into hair, right? So what were you doing in hair that was creative?
I was a hairdresser.
Oh.
I was a fully functioning hairdresser for about 7 years. And then I thought, okay, well, I can't grow more hangs because it was like, well, where do you go from here? You know, I've done that. I've done the platform work. The artistry is great. I know I love this industry, but I want the mechanism of how the business side of it comes. And so that's when I veered a little bit more into the corporate side and looked at a hair salon or a day spa more in terms of business revenue and things like that versus the creative side. But knowing how the operations run from the inside has always been a huge relatable story for me to be able to say to a hairdresser, I know exactly what your world is like, and I know why these products aren't going to work, or similarly with an esthetician and so on. So I think there is that added benefit of, you know, I can be relatable. I've lived their lives. You know, I always say I've pretty much done every position there is, trying to work up my way up the ladder. So
I love that. I think that's great because it does give you a different perspective, and that must give you a different perspective in relating to the corporate business that you're representing as well.
It does. And you know what I like about it is that my story happens to be the story that says there are different ways to get to that CEO level, right? There's one pathway, which is the academic way. And then there's entering a great company with a culture that has that grow from within and being scrappy and climbing your way up to the top, learning the job on the job. But a lot of roads can lead to Rome. You know, if you're looking for that seat in an organization, I would absolutely say don't be turned down by if you didn't start it through the school academic way, that it's too late or that that's the only way, because that's not an opportunity for everybody, right? Either sometimes financially or they don't have the time to pursue advanced education, but it's there for the taking just through a different route.
I think it's coming back to as I, you know, one interview I had where she said, just kick the door down.
Correct.
Just always kick it down.
Correct. I was told at one point, oh, well, you don't have your MBA, so you're going to cap out as a director. And it was very, you know, it sort of just was like, wait, that's not the rules of this game that I signed up for. You know, as long as I'm delivering the results, this is an entrepreneurial company and that's what it should be banked on. And I remember thinking, okay, well, you said that's the rule. I don't have to play by that rule. I'm just going to keep being better than anybody else in here. And what are you going to do? Go with the second or the third winner, or you're going to keep giving the business and the opportunities to leaders that are delivering? And so I just didn't even engage in that argument. I just kept forging forward, and it paid off for me.
So tell me, because I know there's a difference, right? Like the challenges you had when you were first starting out versus challenges you have as a leader now, like what would you say are some of the bigger differences for you besides maturity?
Yeah. Well, the challenges in starting out were more of having to prove yourself as a woman, you know, and it was the higher up the ladder you got in my industry, the more it was men at the table. You know, the front lines were very female oriented, whether you go onto the cosmetic counter or in hair and beauty industries, you know, trade show floor was always, you know, predominantly women. But as you went up the higher up the ladder and it was the conference rooms, you know, you were the only woman. And I remember saying to somebody at one point, I'm pregnant. I have not lost my brain cells. You know, those were the kind of challenges that we had to deal with, you know, being the first at the table, shaking things up, disturbing a culture, and fighting constantly to just come through and balance. How do you balance? Yes, I do want to have it all. I will have a marriage and children and be on my track for my career path that I have decided I want for me. And those were the earlier days struggle, balancing all of that work-life balance, motherhood, and all of those types of things. And I would say now, as a having that seat at the table as a female leader, and what goes through my mind a lot is, what are we doing to make sure somebody else isn't having to fight so hard in any capacity? That, you know, we have cultures that are enabling, inclusive. They help build people's dreams. How do we have an intersection of what's right for the company's vision and what that talent is looking for? And once we find that intersection, you really never have to manage people hard ever again, because the company's intersection of what's right for them will fuel that person's individual dream of what they're looking for in their career path. I hope that makes sense. But that's where my focus is as a leader, is the environment, the culture, the talent all coming together, you know, and then it's very easy to execute on a plan.
Right. I think it's the part of coming together, because, you know, you do read, or I'm sure you've heard the statistic, or maybe not, but the one about in the US, only 21% of CEOs are female.
Yep. Yeah. It is hard, you know, and part of it is companies with cultures that sort of, you've got to really elbow your way through there. And just, I'm here just as much as you're going to be here. And it's also tough because you're balancing home and children. You know, we tend to get pulled from every direction. We are the glue that holds everything together. And I think that's some of that, not giving up, but thinking, how can I do all this? And for me, some of that has been obviously having a great partner that is an amazing support structure to all my wants and needs of, this is what my job is going to need me to do right now. Are you there for me? And the other one is time management and compartmentalization, because you'll drown if all of it comes at you at one point. And just some great support structures, you know, building great teams that can do 80% of what they need to be focused on. So only 20% of their work is really rolling up to you. It's really great, capable people.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, for most people, it is about the culture and what has the culture been used to, and then breaking those norms. Yeah. It seems like that's part of it. Yeah. I also think that women can talk themselves out of it mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. I totally think, because we've been told we're selfish if we have something that we want that doesn't suit everybody else, right? So mm-hmm. we want the peace, we want to be nice, we want to have everybody else be happy. And if you're not doing that, you're selfish. And I think it's very important as we raise children in general that we feed their self-worth, and it's okay for them to decide, this is what I want, you know, and this is what I would like in my life, and there's no reason why I shouldn't have it, you know.
Right. Yes, I totally agree with you. And I also think that when it comes to women, they don't always know the right way to go. Like, I think for some of us, you know, going back to the whole bossy and selfish, like those were my two titles too. So
and you're crazy. We've got something here.
Yeah, it must be the name, but you know, and I look back and I think I just didn't let things stand in my way. I just always decided, no, this is what I want, whatever this goal is out here, and I want to go for it. But I think a lot of women get caught up in feeling they have to compete with other women. And I'm a big proponent of, you need to get whatever bias you have in your head out. Otherwise, you're not going to progress in a way that actually gives you a sense of emotional well-being. But that's just my perspective.
100%. I show up every day to compete with me.
Right.
Anybody else of any rank, any tenure, male, female, I'm competing with me and trying to deliver on the life plan that I want. That's really it. And once I've locked and loaded to that, then yes, absolutely. Nobody's going to tell me I cannot be afforded those opportunities.
I love that. And I am right there with you. People always used to say, who do you compete with? Because you're so competitive. And I'd be like, myself.
That's right.
Always myself. I couldn't even get outside of that.
No, exactly. I don't see others. And yeah. I think that also puts you in a very peaceful place because you're also happy for other people's successes. One of the things we have to sort of work on a little bit is what you just touched on, is that female competitiveness in a work environment. And that you see it, there's like a going after each other that happens. And I think that's one of the areas we have to work on and minimize and erode and really create environments of women supporting women.
I think so. I think we have to address the insecurities that drive that behavior. Because if you don't address those insecurities, then they just proliferate and, you know, it becomes worse and nobody comes together. And I don't think females are going to rule the world, haha, but seriously, until we stop the infighting, which is really all about your own stuff to begin with.
Yeah, totally. And you remember when you've got that in a company of, you know, female leaders and directors and VPs, you really impact culture. So then what are we doing for the larger organization and where is our focus?
Right. I totally agree. So with that said, I need to go back to your bio. To the founder whisperer, what does that mean? I mean, I can come up with all sorts of definitions, but what does that mean?
Yes. So I have to be honest, I didn't make that up. They actually started calling me that, my executive team. And I was shocked, but I was like, okay, I can sort of understand why you've come up with this title. So generally speaking, founders are very, very passionate about their vision and they're experts at a certain thing, right? So they're a dermatologist or, you know, something very, very specific. And then as they evolve and they become really great at what they do and the industry intersections come across, they decide to now create product lines, Dr. Murad, Dr. Lancer, and so on. But it's very hard for them to realize this sandbox has a different set of rules. It's not dermatology office or whatever you were an expert at. And so when we come across some of those, you know, decision-making times in a company, it's very hard to get the founder to sort of move along with those. And so what I found is a system or a way where I try and explain the road ahead and without combating with these people, because they're absolute geniuses at what they do. You cannot dismiss their genius. That's right. Have a whole company built around them. So you can't get into this push and pull, but it really is about managing up and taking them along for the journey to get the yes that you're looking for in order to move the organization forward, right? So I think that system of managing up and keeping them well informed has become known as like the founder whisperer, because we don't want any, you know, broken glass on the road as we're getting this thing done. You know, internally, we have to be very united. And so that's where that's coming from.
What suggestions would you give to other leaders who have trouble with bringing people together, whether it's men and women, 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 you know, what would you say are some of the things that you do?
So I've always just been very, very honest and very, very open. I think that if you can share with people very clearly where we're going, why we want to get there, what's your role in it and what's in it for you, everybody seems to understand, okay, I got the memo. We're locked and loaded. Ops has a different function. Finance has a different function. Marketing has a different function. All equally important. Nobody needs to be felt that that's a support, you know, that's like a secondary division. But I think that that formula has worked really well. So in terms of working with founder-led brands, I really grasp their vision. I tend to be a very good number two, and I'm happy with being a number two. They're the visionary. Okay, now pragmatically, how we're going to lay this out. And then being able to turn around to a group of people, whether it's 10, 15, or 300, and present a plan where they can see it in color, in 3D, and around the corner. Then I think everybody has a sense of belonging, because the worst thing in a company is make people feel like you're just doing X, right?
Yeah.
The entire community to wrap around it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because nobody wants to feel like they're minimized or that what they're doing doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And you know what? I think COVID really showed us that every single person counts. Every single person doing their part. Because we can make great products. If our warehouse wasn't doing what they're doing, nothing's leaving the building and we're out. Right? So
Yeah, I really love that. So what are some of the things that you do, you know, personally, professionally, however you want to put this, to connect with other female leaders? Like, what are some of the things that you do to build that connection? Because, you know, I'm asking because that is a real, I think, big area of concern at this point is how do women come together? I mean, there's organizations that we can join and things like that. But I think each of us has some uniqueness or something that we bring to the table, you know, when we're forging a relationship. And so for you, like, what is that brings you?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, right, we all join organizations and try and be supportive and having the camaraderie going. For me, it's I genuinely stay connected. I am connected with women that I've worked with 20, 25 years ago, and we're one text away. I think keeping a tribal connection going is really, really important, and keeping it very genuine. If they are in need of something, I'm one text away. If it's somebody in a very similar position that says, hey, do you have anybody who's good in marketing? Do you know anybody? Keeping that movement going. It's not about, well, I worked with you, you have no purpose for me anymore, so thank you, goodbye. It's really almost like raising your professional family. There is no goodbye just because you left somewhere. You keep all those connections. You stay in touch. You feed each other's support. And that's given me a very good circle that I'm able to rely on, whether I need help or information or who knows how to find something. And I think it's just a genuine connectivity, bothering to remember people.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I belong to a mastermind of four other business owners. And, you know, it's great. They're all female and we do the same thing where we can mine that. I don't know that a lot of women have that access because for me, it took years of, you know, going through my career. And sure, I'd have a person here or there, but to have a group, that took a lot of years.
No, you're right. It's something you intentionally do as you're going along and you keep building that community of your own. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, you join groups where it comes with a locked-in community of resources.
Right. So, you know, before we wrap it up, just a couple of more things. And I like to keep these short just because everybody who's listening, you know, I'm trying to honor the fact that we're all busy. So, and of course, who I interview as well. So when it comes to female leaderships, what are things that you feel are missing at this point that we can improve upon?
In terms of female leadership, I think the biggest thing is don't take anything personal. I think what gives us our sense of compassion and we're able to unite and bring groups together and think of more of the softer touches can at times be a challenge because we then feel everything and we feel that everything can be personal. So one of the biggest advice I have for any of my friends that have had a bad day is, okay, peel the onion one layer at a time. It's not personal. What's the root of the thing? How can we help you get to where you need to get to? But I think that's one of the biggest things that I see in female leadership is really taking what's our biggest strength, which is our sensitivity and people and all that, and not letting it get in the way of just making some good, clean decisions.
I love that. I think that that's wonderful because I think there is a balance to being a female. You know, people talk male energy, female energy, but I think that all of us are a combination of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tracy, if somebody wanted to find you out there, where would they go?
They could find me on LinkedIn. I connect with everybody who reaches out to me. I know that there's different filters of, do you know me? Where do you know me from? And I don't look at it that way. I just think the whole purpose of LinkedIn is for people to reach out, get to know each other, mentor somebody, connect with somebody on a business opportunity. So LinkedIn is a fantastic place to look me up and connect with me and start a dialogue.
I love that. And I really appreciate that. I'm the same way too. I love to meet people and to, because you never know when you're talking to someone where it's going to lead.
No, and also this was exactly what we were talking about. How do you create your own community? You know, just be open.
Yes. Being open is key because the more open and honest you are, the, I don't want to say the more attractive you are to other people, but other people find it easier to bond with you and to trust you. And if it's a subordinate, to be loyal to you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if you go back to when we started the conversation from childhood, right? So mm-hmm. if we go back to that, how do you, which team do you want to be on? People want to be on a team when the person leading the team is fun. They have ideas. This is how we're going to win. There's an energy that pulls you in, right? And as we get older, it's the same thing. It's that energy of being open, wanting to be connected, wanting to meet other like-minded people, help where you can, and the circle gets bigger and stronger.
I totally agree. And I love this so much, so much. Tracy, I have really appreciated having you on today. I can't believe we were sticking to the time, but we are. I know I have a bad habit of going, okay, we're going to get this done. And then, you know, it's just such an engaging conversation, but I'm trying to be very mindful. And is there any parting words that you have for any of our listeners, you know, as far as other women leaders out there?
My only parting word would be to do it your own way. Don't listen to anything else.
I love that. I do. Okay, you guys, go out there and do it your own way if you're not already doing it your own way. So thank you, Tracy.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, you guys, take care, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining today. For more information on Tracy and her programs and to set up a discovery session, email business@tracycrossley.com. That's business@tracycrossley.com, and go to tracycrossley.com to get your free download entitled Stop Your Inner Dictator. Thank you for tuning in to Earned Wisdom for Accomplished Female Leaders.